I know the punishment is too much for you to bear. You know, most people never got that. They really don't get it when I say the punishment is too much for you to bear. And then finally one day somebody came to me and said, "You suggesting punishment as in pun?" Yes. I see some of you going, "Oh." Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't think I will ever use the reference to the Corinthian letters without being reminded of the fact that we had led this teenager to Christ many, many, many years ago, and she was reflecting upon the studies that she had made during that week. And she says, "I was studying there in 1 Corinthians." That should have given you time to find it. I still haven't found it. Oh, there it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to go over some of the words that are found in this particular passage since I quoted it this morning. And too often I feel that by simply quoting a passage really does not do justice to it unless we analyze some of the particular words and see how the phrases link together and how these all become one marvelous tapestry of doctrine. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The old things that have passed away, you may want to write down in your notes, refers to the old power or the old principles, whether genetic, environmental, volitional handicaps, human dynamics, personality, talent, or work flaws are gone. That explains, by the way, why it is that some people, before they are saved, may have a tremendous amount of human dynamic and a personality which is in tune, let's say, with the world and the world's system. That doesn't mean that you lose the talent. That doesn't mean that you lose the personality. That doesn't mean that you lose the human dynamic, but your emphasis now is upon something completely different. Those things, for example, that pleased me before I became a believer have become almost extinct in my life. There's no longer that desire to fulfill those which I counted so important up to age 24 or 25. So those are the old things. The new things refer to your portfolio of invisible assets, which include, among others, the 10 problem-solving devices. They have become new. There is a passage in Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5, that I found quite difficult to understand. And so I remember when I was going to Bible school, or actually Bible college, and I approached one of the professors, and I asked him, I said, "What does it mean to have the Spirit renewed by the renewing of the Spirit," it says. And so I said, "Does that suggest," and I gave him a proposal, "or does it suggest," and I gave him another proposal, "or does it suggest," and I was waiting for an answer. I don't think he knew the answer. And so he said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, it appears to me that the renewing of the Spirit simply implies that before we didn't know the Spirit at all, we had no contact with Him, there was no identity as such, there was no motivation in the life of the believer. I didn't understand the filling of the Spirit or anything related to that at that time." And so I looked at him and he said, "I think you're right." And he walked away. Well, maybe I taught him, I'm not sure. I think that's exactly what it means. It doesn't suggest that we had the Spirit before and now we've had to renew him. It's just like that passage where it says that we no longer know Christ as we knew him before, but we now know him in a new way. Well, how did we know him before? Well, in most cases, we didn't know him at all. Or he may just have been, for example, a historical figure that we celebrated twice a year, namely Christmas time, where the birth of Christ is so de-emphasized, as Bob has repeatedly reminded us, and I think rightfully so, or that time of the resurrection, where we are probably involved more with Easter bunnies and jelly, whatever they call them, beans, and ex-president Jelly Bean, and things like that. We don't really make too much about the resurrection as non-believers. The Greeks have a way of greeting each other around that time. The one will say in Greek to the one, Christ is risen. The other will respond and say, Christ is truly risen. But is he really risen in their lives? Well, he wasn't in mine. And so I think this whole idea of new things, new perspectives, new ideas, new horizons, a new destiny, a new purpose, a new aim, a new goal. All things have become new. You know, when we think of the old things prior to our salvation, something that we may have gone through, things that we may have experienced, distasteful things, uncomfortable things, awful things, things that may have stained our conscience, things that may have caused us trauma as our youth and growing up, etc. They're all new. Those things are potentially gone. The memory may still linger, but you see, when we're told that in Christ we are more than conquerors, and I love that. You know, it's one thing to be a conqueror, but it's another thing to be more than a conqueror through him who loved us and gave himself for us. So, may I suggest to you, first of all, a few of the words that are used here. There is an adjective, kenyi, and kene actually means new. New in a sense of something that modifies the word ktisis. Ktisis is an old friend of ours because we studied that, you remember, in Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That creation affords us being called the new creation, or a new species. Now, if I were able to, whether in a scientific laboratory or whatever the particular conditions, create a species, I would probably go down in the annals of medical history or scientific history. No one can actually create a new species except God. We can work with old ones, we can modify them, we can crossbreed them, we can have hybrids even in plant life, we can enhance them, we can make them bigger, we can change their color. As in flowers, you can have a normal rose, which would be either red or white, and then have one that's both red and white. You can have some, like we used to have before my wife killed them, roses in the back where they had a kind of a silvery appearance around the ridge of the petal, thank you, and then it was red, and then it would deepen and go down almost into a maroon. It was absolutely gorgeous. I think we still have one plant left, which is about this big. It's almost as bad as what my daughter did once. We asked her to prune back, I think it was a hibiscus sitting out front, and so we gave her the pruning shears, and when we came back, there was a little stick about this big sticking out of the ground. Well, it didn't make it. It flourished. Thank you for reminding me. It's almost as bad as when Larry Hoffman came in and cut up my fig tree, and all that was left was this huge, massive trunk, and then some apertures or appendages that were sticking out. They were about this big around. All of the leaves were gone. All of the branches were gone. And I said, uh-oh, he's killed this thing. And then finally the next summer, it just started in. Now it's three times the size that it was before he even cut it. That's what happens. God works on us sometimes. He has to prune us. Ever been pruned? I didn't say, do you take them? I asked you, have you been pruned? Kind of works the same way. All right. Actually, what you have here, if I may loosen the translation up, is simply this. Loosen the translation. If anyone is in Christ, and he is as a believer, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. They no longer have dominion over you. And again, in further amplification, for example, death. Death was that one sting that had dominion over the believer. That's past. That's gone. You see, it's completely gone. Paul, in his victorious statements regarding that, as far as the resurrection, when he says that death is swallowed up in victory, the victory of our assured resurrection. There's the new. Plus, we have the new of a surety of salvation. Excuse me, a surety of purpose, a definition in our lives. And this is why it is it's so empty to me to meet believers who have, they seem to be groping about aimlessly, without purpose, without definition, wondering what their life is all about. May I suggest to you that this is saying all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ. We're not the old, just kind of covered up. We're completely new. Oh, we're still in this body. But even then, God has prepared for us a new one. Just think, one of these days we're going to have a body that has no imperfections whatever. No aches, no pains, no allergies. There's no pharmacy in the sky. We won't ever have to take medication. We'll never experience a pain again, whether it be physical or mental. And we will just glory at His presence and marvel at His majesty and just be thrilled with the very fact that the entire plan made us new creatures in Christ. You are in Christ by the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of salvation. As a result, you are entered into union with Christ. And what does that afford you new that you didn't have before? Well, it's simple. I know that I could go into the detail of it, but this is not my purpose this evening, but just think of it. In just this simple statement, and yet profound in its extent, everything that Christ is and has and owns is ours. Because we're in union with Christ. It's just like God, in a sense, said, I will take this new spiritual species and I will join them in union with my Son, and there will be the community property throughout all of eternity. As we know, Arizona, as far as I know by law, is not a community property state. New York is, for example. Whatever one owns, the other owns automatically. Is Arizona? It is. It wasn't at one time. Of course, at one time in Arizona, if you found your wife in bed with another man, you could just shoot both of them. That's right. Right where they lied and where they lay. And then just call the law and say, come and pick up the pieces. But now, of course, you'd be... Because see, with Homo sapien, nothing is really new, it just changes. Sometimes it changes for the good, sometimes it changes, obviously, for the bad. But with God, Just think about it, an ever-increasing newness in eternity. And I think if you appreciate the fact and understand even in part what that phrase means when Paul is speaking and says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding greatness of his glory to us with her belief, think about it. Every day a new day. Every morning a new glory. Every day a new grace. You say, well, how do we actually get any preparation for that? Do I have to tell you that? That should be your day now. You almost get to the point, and I almost refrain in saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and that is the fact that we've seen God so marvelously work in the light of our calamities, you're almost looking for the next calamity to see what he's going to do marvelously in undertaking for us. What's going to break next? Because we know inevitably something is going to break. Something is going to give up. Something is going to spring a leak. I'm talking about the building, of course. Although I guess some of us spring leaks occasionally. It can be devastating. It can be embarrassing as well, I might add. But I avoid saying that because I don't particularly look for things to break just so that we can put our God to a test. But there are things that we have no control over. And yet he has control over everything. Everything. There's nothing that gets by him. You know, I've done things in my life, I won't tell you what they are, but I'm sure that every one of you has the same story to tell. Where you've done something and you've let it rest and it's finally disappeared from the scene and everyone has been completely oblivious of the fact that you were even a part of that, whatever it was that you had done, said, or but you still remember. You know, I guess I should commend those of you that have poor memory because you can be happier than others. Really, because you can't remember the mistakes and the errors and the sins that you committed. It's easy for you to rebound. You know, you rebound, confess, you forget. You would have anyway, so. I say that jokingly, of course. Because sin is that one thing that tends to tattoo itself to our frontal lobes. Why? Because God never lets us forget it. And when he forgets it, he asks us to also. But even that, we're renewed almost on a daily basis. Every time we utilize, for example, rebound. Every time we confess our sins, clean slate, beginning again, new. I think God did a wonderful thing by causing us to sleep. We may not sleep as long as we desire to. We may not sleep as well as we would like to sleep. But nevertheless, the very fact that we have the opportunity to end the day and start anew in the next day by waking up. We see the sun come up, oftentimes because of our lack of sleep. Many a morning because of circumstances either involving people within Westside Bible Church or within my own family, I spend time in my office in darkness. Why? I couldn't sleep. But then I would see that the sun coming up, and it would always remind me of the fact that this is a new day. And it was. I can document for you year after year, day after day, where one thing one day would not work. And all I had to do was put it aside and work for the next day, and it was all taken care of. The impossible became possible. The impassable became passable. And that's not the Bostonian way of saying possible. Sometimes we are going through life, as it were, and we come up to this barrier that seems to be impassable. What are we going to do? God says, wait, be patient. And the next day we find ourselves on the other side. There is no barrier. Look at the people who have patiently waited year after year after year for answers to prayer.
God says, wait. It's coming.
Let us avoid as much as possible that instant cure concept. What I simply call microwave Christianity. You know, pop it in 30 seconds later and out it pops out. But I'll tell you, I've never tasted, I don't care who's cooked it, anything cooked in a microwave that compares with something that's been cooked either in gas or in electric, an oven, a broiler, or an outside barbecue. There's nothing like that smoked flavor. You can't get that unless you had wood chips in there. I have one of those strange fire alarms. It's a part of my alarm system, and it will only detect smoke that is from either wood or a synthetic product. If someone goes by with a cigarette, for example, it will not at all affect it. It must be smoke specifically that is a part of a house. That's nice. There's no way you can reproduce the smell of wood or hickory or the various things that we use to smoke meats with a microwave. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my eggs bouncing. You know? I bought the thing originally because when I was with the police department, I used to go into a little drug store on Glendale Avenue, and I would order my lunch, and she'd say, would you like it heated? And I got either ham or cheese or something, and a hamburger with cheese, and she would put it in the microwave and bring it out. And, oh, the bread was so soft, and the cheese was so mad. And I said, if for nothing else, that's what I'm going to use it for. It's great for making popcorn. Phenomenal. But I couldn't imagine putting a roast lamb. First of all, it wouldn't fit. Besides, the thing would cry if I tried to push it into one of those things. Don't look for instant answers. God sometimes wants to teach us patience. That was one of the hardest things for me. Because as a non-believer, if I couldn't resolve the situation immediately, then it wasn't resolvable. I just pushed it out of my life, and that was the end of it. I didn't have time for it. Let's get it taken care of now. Not tomorrow, not the next, now. And if I had to wait for tomorrow the next day, I just pushed it off the table of my mind. And of course, that was a stupid thing to do, because when that next day came, or the day after, there it was again. And so I would undertake to do it immediately. Wanted quick cures, quick solutions, snap, snap, let's get with it. Well, I guess after close to 35 years of ministry, the Lord has taught me one thing, if nothing else. Relax and wait. You're a perfect illustration of that. Not all of you. Yeah. I've been here for 25 years. That kind of shows you something about patience. Either that or gullibility. I'll wait. And we'll keep seeing people coming night after night and growing in grace. If somebody would have said to me, do you know that one day you've got a young man here and he's going to end up being what he is today? I'd have said, really? What good thing could come out of that? Well, look at Bob. The young man that was going to straighten me out in my office so many years ago because of an apparent error in my judgment with regard to the young people. Well, what did he know? He didn't know anything, but he thought he knew a lot. There he sat as the spokesman with the others saying, yeah. Now see, what the Lord did was redirect that and use it to his glory. But see, the reasons behind it in the past were the old things. And they don't immediately change. But you see, when you have a new outlook and you have enough time, that outlook will be facilitated. And others will realize it. I think sometimes we just don't have the patience to just wait to see how is it going to turn out. You ever see the beginning of a painting? Doesn't look like much. Of course, I saw one. It didn't look like much to me at all. You know what the painting was called? Nothing. You say, what was on the canvas?
Nothing.
And somebody actually looked at that as art. They spelled it wrong. And I looked at this thing, and it was a canvas. I mean, it didn't even have a spot on it. At least I could say they could have called it spot on canvas. Right? Or fling on canvas or something. Didn't even know. Nothing. By. There was no signature on it. There was a little plaque underneath. And I said, that man stole my painting. Anybody can come in there with a canvas and say, see? Mine's the same. That's stupid. But anyway, when you start a painting, you see a little thing here and a little thing there. Generally, they start with, they divide it into three parts, if I remember my art correctly. At least that's theory. You start with a background first and work into the foreground. That's supposed to give a dimension. Right? You start at the top, normally. You put in the sky or whatever it is you want to put in. Some people use a big brush. It looks like something they'd use on the side of a house. It's a little stiffer than that. And zoop, 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 zoop. And you look and you say, oh, yeah, sure, that's sky. Mm-hmm. And then he starts in with the clouds. You know, it almost looks like paint by numbers. And then he says, now you take the brush and you go, and everything starts to just blend. And that cloud becomes fluffy. And then he says, and then you put a little in there, you know, and you say, yeah. And he goes, he blends that. Of course, when I do it, everything just blends. Okay? So there's training involved. But then when you see the finished product, I'm amazed with these guys on TV. You know, in a half hour, they have this finished product. And they started off with the nothing painting. So you see, every painting that's ever been done is actually a cover-up of the nothing. So you may have fine art underneath in the mind of some. Well, that's like God. He's trying to paint your life. And so you may be in just that little stage right now, and somebody looks at you and they say, look what they said of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And they said, what good thing can come from Nazareth? Boy, they really gave him an opportunity, didn't they? Just the very fact that he was from a place called Nazareth, that immediately condemned him in the mind of some. I remember when I had to go before a major to get permission. Because when you're in the military and you're a non-commissioned officer, that time I was, they said you had to go before your commander and ask permission for marriage, especially for separate rations. And so I went in front of him and he asked me some questions. And he said, now, I understand you're from New York City. And I said, yes. And he says, and your wife is from where? Iowa? And I said, yes. He says, well, we know about you, city slickers. He didn't even know me. But he had reached a conclusion that nothing good could come out of New York City. or nothing good could happen in 1933. And a lot of bad things happened in 1933. There's one good thing that happened. Me. You may not think so, but I'm glad it happened. Then there's something that happened in 1956. Again, it relates to me. I became a new creature, a new creation, a new spiritual species in Christ Jesus. And you know what? I don't know if this is going to encourage you or not, but we're small tonight, so I'm trying to be a little less, may I use the word, formal than usual. It's been exciting ever since, and every day is new. Not the same old drag. I'm annoyed when I hear believers, oh, I'm just dragging along. Come on, wake up. There's not one word in the entirety of God's word that says tomorrow will be the same drag as today. No, rather morning by morning, what? New mercies. New blessings, new opportunities, new horizons. And you know, I know people that have that kind of mentality, that kind of thinking. People like Jody Brown. Can you imagine? There he is, and he's in Arkansas, and things are not going well there. And instead of him saying, damn it, the hell with it, I'll just give it up and go out and sell insurance. There's nothing wrong with selling insurance. But not with the kind of gift that he has. So instead he goes here, and it doesn't quite work out. And then he goes to South America. At one time, remember, we were praying that he was going to evangelize Brazil. Or Guatemala, or wherever it was. Bolivia. Remember? And he had properties given to him and thousands of acres of swamp. I mean, it was great. It ended up being a disaster, by the way. Now God shut the door on that, but he didn't give up. He didn't say, I've had it. I've gotten bitten by tsetse flies and people. And no. So then he went here, and then he went, then finally, boom. Ends up in Russia. And only like he could do. I couldn't do that. First of all, let me tell you something. I wouldn't even go to Russia. I have no desire to go to Russia. Or Belarus. It's too cold. I don't like cold. This to me is cold. When I go home, I'll probably build a fire. Maybe I'll build two of them. One on top of the other one. You say, that's only one fire. Well, okay. But here's a man who goes and he says, I want this and I want to build this and I want to start that and I want to get this going. Do you think that his life is exciting? But now do you think that everything just falls in line and the Lord says, here is a Russian bed of roses. No. He's got to fight officials, he's got to do this, he's got to fight the fact that all they have is squash. I couldn't live on squash and pumpkins, I'd die. I hate both of them. I won't tell you what I did. The only thing I ever did to pumpkins was on them, not with them. And if they're small enough, they're great for throwing at people, or cars, or animals. Where's Nancy? No, she's not here. I was going to say, especially cats. We had her going last night. That was fun. She thought we were serious, and we were. You even get an appreciation for animals. Honestly. New things. You know, some people have no appreciation for music before they become believers. And it is absolutely amazing how your musical horizons open up. You know, we have people here that you may not even think are that type of person musically. We got people here that can interpret and understand and join along with and sing in the arias of most operas. You look at that person. Huh? That person? great. You can sit and listen to Bach and Beethoven and Wagner. Of course, I love Wagner. I love loud crescendos of... His father, you know, thought he was crazy. Told him he'd never make it. Did that deter him? No. His music is wild. Now, if you want to watch something that's real exciting, watch The Rings. Some of it's very boring. Except when Brunhilde comes out, you know, and starts in with her, you know, the thing and so on. I like Italian opera. French opera, but then everyone does own likes, but you become selective. And your musical ability branches out, not only with church music. And you can pick out good stuff and you can pick out trash. You know, we have a lot of trite in our hymn books. Really, it's cheap stuff. It's ditty. It's almost carny stuff. And we have some rich music. You know, when you sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," man, that, you ever hear that played symphonically? Man, it sends chills through you. At least does me. You know, it starts way back here in the back of your head, then just starts going down your spine. Oh, yes! And that includes people, for example, groups like the Beatles. You can go back and listen to the music of the 20s. Go on into the big band sound. I heard one in Ken's car the other day, big band sound with Christian music. Fantastic. Of course, I couldn't hear for a week, but that's all right. No, I'm kidding. That was pleasant. And it wasn't just played loud. You know, one thing is loud, another thing is loud and clear. And like when you're in front of live music, you can get to appreciate that. Some people have no appreciation for music. They have no appreciation for the arts. They have no appreciation for anything. The only thing they know is, "Oh, I like that painting." Somebody says, "That's not a painting, you dope. It's a mirror." Huh? Their whole life is a reflection of themselves. In a lot of respects, our life is, but not in that sense. All things new. Well, let's go out and live our new life. When I was talking with Sherry earlier, I said, "Isn't that nice? Don't you feel like you just got into something new?" Yeah, new house. It has that new smell. Even though you're sitting there on the box, you know, and you're eating. Yeah? If you've never gone through that, that's an experience. Especially when the one on the other side is the one you love. And you're sharing that together. You don't see the garage full of boxes. I still have boxes I haven't undone from New York. That's right. I know where they are. They're safely put away. Say, "What's in them?" I know. I've got some tracts in there. I got a whole box of tracts. American Mission to Greeks. Say, "Where is it?" "I'll never get to it." It's put away. You buy a new car. You always say, new car smell. It's really not pleasant. You understand that? You know, it's kind of gluey and screwy and dewy and all that stuff. It has that, I don't know why they even sell that stuff for new car smell. Get it out of there. Car shouldn't smell. We have in ours, it was an accidental thing. We'd bought some perfume for one of our friends, and it was in a canister, but it was in a glass canister where it was pressurized. And I left it in the car because that person wasn't in Bible class that night, so we couldn't give it to them, and it exploded. So the back seat has a permanent odeur. But we like new things, don't we? Well, how about a new life? And see, here's the thing. You go to bed tonight and you wake up tomorrow, it's new. Because in a sense, it's like sleep is like death. You know, you were for so many hours, you were absolutely out. You weren't aware of what was going on. Nothing bothered you. Even if you dreamed, it may have been an illusion, and in most cases was, unless you had lobster or lasagna before you went to bed, and that may cause you some gastritis. That's most of the causes for dreams, nightmares. Or German sausage, you know, at 12 o'clock with hot peppers. I know people that eat onions, you know. Please. Ladies do that. Great birth control. Husband goes, see? New things. Baby comes into the world. New. First time you put whatever you put in its mouth for food, it's new. It was never in that mouth before. I don't know whether that excites you or not, but I kind of get fed up with people. Well, same old thing. No, 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 no. It's new. Look at tomorrow as a new day. Look at the next day as a new day. And then, ironically, we even have what we call new years. We don't have to carry over the old one. And it'd be nice if, you know, December 31st, everything. And January 1, no debts. Nothing carried over from the previous year except the things that were delectable and delightful. Well, now you have a glimpse of what you may have in eternity. And as a believer, you certainly will. Morning by morning by morning, the ages, all of the eons, new. The unveiling of His glory, the unveiling of His grace. Huh. And of course, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the mind of man, but God is prepared for those that love Him. New. Every day. Father, thank You for the time together. Dismiss us now. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17.